In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is risen. So today we have this story of the man born blind. And it's an interesting story in that it goes through this whole progression where it's obvious that the scribes and Pharisees are trying to entrap Jesus. And they're trying to use this man and then his parents to entrap Jesus so that they can accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. And what we see here, what we see from so many people who are involved in this is fear. We see the Pharisees who are afraid of losing the position that they have. They're afraid of losing the authority. They're afraid of recognizing who Jesus is. They're afraid of recognizing that he truly is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah come to save them, because they're worried about what that would then require of them, that they would then need to follow him, and that instead of having people flock to them, they would need to point people to him. And then we have the young man, and we have his parents. And so the scribes and Pharisees are trying to question this. And it's interesting, in one of the other times, the man with the paralyzed hand, they tell Christ, "Don't you know that it's unlawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Here they don't even want to admit that he healed the blind man. They want to show that perhaps there wasn't any miracle that happened. They said to his parents, they said, "Is this your son, the one whom you say was born blind?" They want to cast doubt even on the fact that this man that so many people had seen begging every day as a blind man was born blind. And so what do his parents do? His parents basically punt. They pass the buck. They say, "Well, you know, yeah, that's our son, and we know that he was born blind. We don't know what happened. We don't know how he was healed or who healed him." And it says in the text they said this because they were afraid that they were going to be kicked out of the synagogue. So once again, they're responding with fear. They're responding with fear of those same people who fear the Lord. And not fear the Lord in a good God-fearing way like we should, but fear losing their own power and their own position. And so they fear that they may be cast out, that they may be cast out from the synagogue and be outcasts. And then what do you have? You have the man who'd been an outcast his whole life, the man who was born blind, who was a beggar, who was not able to live what was a normal life. And what happens with him is he is healed. Christ actually seeks him out and heals him, gives him his sight. And then you see him responding. And he doesn't respond as you would expect someone who is an outcast of society would. He doesn't respond with fear. When he's called in front of the scribes and Pharisees and they're basically attacking him and accusing him, he doesn't respond to them with fear. He responds to them with boldness. He's very, very bold. St. John Chrysostom talks about this. He says, "Do you see how boldly the beggar speaks with the scribes and Pharisees? It shows how strong truth is and how weak falsehood is. Truth, though it grasps only ordinary people, makes them to appear glorious. Falsehood, even when it is among the strong, shows them to be weak." You see, the scribes and the Pharisees were holding on to something that isn't true strength. It's not truth. It's not. There's no authority behind it. Instead of seeing that the source of truth, truth himself, truth with a T, was standing before them, they feared losing what they had, not recognizing that what they had was, in a sense, just a falsehood compared to Christ. It's not to say that there's not value in what they did in terms of pointing people towards God, but instead that they had made that into an idol that drew them away from Christ. And that's what we can do with so many things in our life. We can make the current life that we have, whether it be the family that we have or the job that we have or whatever sort of financial security we have, we can view that as that which bolsters us up. We can view that as the truth. That's the thing that I'm going to hold on to. I'm going to hold on to my spouse and my children or my parents. I'm going to hold on to my job and the financial security I may have, not recognizing that all of these are falsehoods. All of these are not true security. They're not true hope. They're not true peace. But instead, it's only through Christ. Ultimately, when we cling to these things, we cling to these things out of fear, not recognizing that no matter what our circumstances are, we have a God who loves us and a God who desires very much our salvation. And that doesn't necessarily mean that our life is going to be easy, that there are not going to be struggles, there are not going to be difficult times. But what it means is that we have a God that we can count on. And how do we know this? It's not a blind faith. It's not grasping at straws. We know that we can trust God because he's gotten us to where we are today. When we look back at the difficult things we've gone through, whether we acknowledged it at the time or not, he was giving us the strength. He was giving us the grace to get through those. And so we know that we don't need to fear the world. We don't need to fear any sort of catastrophe. There's nothing that we need to fear. We need to have a healthy respect and that godly fear for God, not a cowering type fear, but instead a healthy respect, knowing that that he ultimately is the one true power, the one thing that is true, that is so real in this universe that everything else compared to him, in a sense, is at least in comparison to him, a falsehood and not quite so real. But we know that he loves us, and that's where we find that hope. That's where we find the ability to not fear those things that we think may destroy us, knowing that ultimately that he loves us, and he desires our salvation, and that when things are tough, when there are things out there to fear, that he is the only thing to turn to, and that when we turn to him, that he will give us comfort, and he will give us strength, and he will give us perseverance, so that we may stand to the final day, and so that we will be more closely united with him and be what we were meant to be, which is in communion and union with him. It's the only place where we will ever feel safety, where we'll ever feel hope and peace. And ultimately, we do that not because of fear, but out of love, knowing that he has that great love for us, and that love will cast away any fear. To his glory and that of the Father and the all Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.